Good morning, everybody. As I was thinking about this week's sermon, after last week's Onward and Upward, I hope you had your battle cry all week, Onward and Upward. On the radio the following morning as I was getting up, it said, Up and Atom. I thought, I love the way God confirms things, depending on whether we're listening or not. But so Onward and Upward. Up an atom. And as we continue to think about joy, I'm going to have joyful faces before Harvest Festival. We're going to continue to think about joy in Christ as we find joy in our broken world. Joy begins when self ends. I think that's probably one of the hardest ones. That Jesus is the source of our heavenly joy. And today we're going to think about joy in every circumstance. Now, who's already had a grumble this morning because it's raining? Yes, exactly. So joy in every circumstance. But we'll just read a few verses from Psalm 119. It said, I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. And as we hold those words, let's start our worship as we sing number 486. Now thank we all our God. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new morning. We praise you that we can enter this day coming to your house to worship you. And Lord, as we've been learning over these weeks, may each minute of our lives be an opportunity to seek you and to praise you, to thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for our freedom to worship, our freedom to live in your way. We thank you, Lord, as we've been reading through Paul's letter, we thank you for the gift of joy and for your fruit of rejoicing. Lord, as we sometimes don't feel that we are in the right place, that worries and anxieties take over, that prevent us from finding you. And Lord, even worse in the times when we just turn our back on you because we just feel that life is too hard. Lord, we thank you that we have your word, that we can read it and we can learn from it, that we can learn with one another, encourage one another. Lord, that all we need for life is contained within your word, and that we are able to stand firm and fast in this day, in these days, Lord, where we see so much chaos. We bless you, Lord, that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we can live in the light of your presence. And Lord, as we seek you again today, Lord, I just ask that you would take from each one of us all those thoughts that would be a barrier to knowing you. Lord, that you would enlighten us in our doubts. That, Lord, as we think on you, that you would do as you promised, Lord, more than we can ask or imagine. Lord, may we never be tired of praising you. May we each know your joy, that heavenly medicine, Lord, that strengthens our trust and increases our love for you. Lord, when we're in the midst of the world's problems and our own problems, Lord, when your word tells us not to be anxious about anything, so difficult to hear, Lord, when our hearts are anxious about a lot of things. And Lord, sometimes we pretend to others that we're not worried when they ask us if we're okay. We say, yes, I'm fine. Lord, we ask that we would strive to live our lives for you, that you would show us your way, that we can rest in your promises of peace. Lord, everything we need is contained within you. You created each one of us in your image. And Lord, although sometimes we don't show that image to other people, Lord, they might see something completely different. Lord, thank you that we are a work in progress. And Lord, that all we need to do is to keep seeking you and being honest with you and ourselves. Lord, keep our hearts and minds fixed on Jesus. Thank you that you are a God who listens to us, the things that we say out loud and the things that we hold in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would take all the stuff that would prevent us from knowing you, empty our hearts of the barriers that we build up, and that you would fill us, Lord, with your inner, living, perfect peace. Lord, help each one of us to live our lives as you intended, to rejoice continually, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all things, knowing that that is your will for our lives. Lord, we ask our prayers in your almighty name. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we're continuing worship by singing number 419, Like a Mighty River Flowing. And it's one we've not sung for a long time, but it's okay. We've got five verses to get it right. Angie. Lovely words in that hymn, and when I looked, I do keep a list so we don't sing the same ones over and over again, and it's been so many years since we sung it, well, while I've been here, and I was like, why do we not sing it more often? As we come to today's passage in Philippians, as we enter into chapter 4, this particular passage is jam-packed full of well-known verses. And there's lots of joy, yay, and lots of rejoicing, yes. Brilliant, we're getting there. 9 years it's taken me, 9 years. After putting the suffering and hardship into perspective in the previous chapters, Paul now gives specific thanks to the Philippians for their support and their generosity, and we'll get more into that in a couple of weeks. As we look at the prior passages in the letter, they've explained concepts like humility and hope, as well as focus on Christ. Positive attitudes. It's not just a modern day thing that businesses dream up. Beneficial thinking are especially important. And in this concluding section, Paul calls on the Philippians to act with reasonableness. I don't know about you, but that's not a word I use every day. It's a bit of a mouthful. Especially as they handle disagreements within the church. Paul is confident that God will bless these faithful Christians for their generous support and love for him. And so I'll ask Brian if you'll come and give us our reading from page 1180.
I doubt whether you'll have much trouble finding this reading in the Bibles. The bookmark is probably in there.
You think?
It was in mine anyway.
I was going to say, I can tell you some weren't.
It's chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Some of you pick out some of the verses that you've grown up with and cherished for so many years. Beautiful passage. Encouraging believers to stand firm in the Lord, settle their differences, rejoice always, be gentle and considerate, and not be anxious about anything, but pray and give thanks. And Paul tells them and tells us that by following those principles, believers can experience the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, since the God of peace will be with us. And I think, as I think about the world and the state that it's in at the moment, finding stability in an unstable world for ourselves and then being able to share that peace with others is something that I pray that we would all yearn for at this time. So let's sing as we prepare to hear God's word. Number 288, I need thee every hour.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, as we've just sung those words, we need thee every hour. Lord, help us not just to sing those words, but that would be our reality as we go through life, not on our own, but with you, which causes us, Lord, to rejoice in you always. Lord, may we hear your word, what you would speak to each one of us today. Bless us now, I pray. Amen. Last week, as we were thinking about going onward and upward, I said that I often think of my faith like a staircase. And a well-known quote, which has been attributed to Martin Luther King Jr., is, faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And that's difficult sometimes, isn't it? Because in a lot of homes, particularly modern day ones, the staircase just goes straight up. So you kind of know that you're going up. But then I was thinking about my family home, and have you also noticed that there's usually 13 steps in a house? Has anyone bothered to count? Go home and count. 13 steps. But in my family home, They went up, then up, and then up. So actually, unless you went like that, you couldn't actually see where you were heading. 4, 5, 4. And these are the things that I do as a former accountant. And, you know, as I said to you last week, you know, if you try and do more than one step at a time, I often try and do 2, maybe 3 at push. You know, there's a good chance that I still try. And you wonder why my back's broken. That, you know, sometimes you trip, don't you, and you stumble back. It's much easier when you choose to jump down 3 or 4 at a time. Do you remember those days? For those of you, you don't do that anymore. When I was on holiday a couple of weeks ago, and I was at a particular garden that's built on the side of the River Wye, so it goes up, and the bridge that I needed to cross had been shut. I think it was the day of the storms when we had all the wind and stuff. Now, I'd gone the day after, so I think somebody had just forgotten to take the closed sign down, which meant I had to use the steps. And they weren't just steps, they were like crazy paving, rocky, you know, rock garden kind of steps. I'm thinking, this is not clever. But as I started the descent, thank goodness, I realised I had no idea how long these steps were going to go on, because they didn't just go straight down, they were going round and round, so you got to see, you know, parts of the garden. So it was really nice. But, you know, I was just thinking that whole thing about steps, sometimes stepping into the unknown. And I don't know about you, but as I've been reading and studying Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, I think in some ways it's been an antidote to all that has been and is going on in the world and also in my own life. Paul offers steps for a happy life, which are simple, I would say. Cheer up. Calm down. Give thanks. Rejoice in the Lord. Yeah? Simple. So why aren't we doing it? He is with us. We can speak to him about everything, our concerns and our gratitude. And if we do this, God's supernatural peace will surround us like a protective shield. In the chaos of a fallen world, we long for peace. Seem to be saying the word chaos a lot lately. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, we are given encouragement on how we can experience true joy. There is nothing like a church that is filled with joy. You can sense it when you come through the doors, the joy that fills our hearts when we're at peace with one another. Lots of people have said to various people here when visiting our church for events and funerals and other things, that they can feel the love and the peace in this building as they enter the door. And I pray that that will continue as the devil tries to get a foothold amongst us. As we look at our passage today, I believe that verse 1 concludes the previous passage. So it's interesting that Paul opens this section from verse 2 by seemingly publicly embarrassing Euodia and Syntyche because of their disagreement. And yet he links it to freedom from anxiety. Contention between believers arises for many reasons. And the fellowship becomes difficult, tensions run high, anxiety rules, and peace is lost. Here, Paul isn't keeping it private. Now, when I did vicar training, I was told that, you know, most conversations with members of your congregation are to be kept between you and them, unless they need escalating to the elders. So when I read Paul publicly naming and shaming those two ladies, I'm like, oh, he didn't have that written in his training, did he? But actually it's good, because what he's saying is that, you know, there is this issue. You are aware of it because it's obvious. And I want you, the church, to help with the healing. Because church is a partnership. It's not just about the minister and God, or God and each other as individuals. As I often say, it's us as church family, us as partnership with God. And so that's why Paul responds, cheer up, calm down, give thanks, rejoice in the Lord. It is easy to dwell on what is wrong with life. The daily news, problems at home, problems with family, worries about the future. In the face of it all, Paul urges us to think healthily. And the verses that we heard, verse 8, which contains the 8 steps, we'll cover next week, because I believe it's so important to be a standalone preach. This is not theory. Paul's own experiences have enabled him to learn the secret of peaceful living. And as I said last week, it's not a so secret, because Paul's telling us how to do it. Paul's love for the church at Philippi is apparent throughout his letter, and particularly in the opening verses of chapter 4. One of his main concerns was that those people would be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace were uppermost in the heart, his heart and mind for them. And I was thinking, if people can feel the love and the peace in this place, then why not the joy? As we've been hearing, to experience those Christian graces, Christ must be the center of a believer's life. So how are we going to get more joy in here? And in our own lives? That is the question. As Paul explains, a key element of joy is keeping our eyes on Jesus. Making Jesus the center of our lives and our church is the only way to have real joy. It must be all about Jesus. When he is the center of everything, we will experience peace with God and with each other. And that produces a flood of joy. Now, I wrote that before I realized it was pouring down with rain this morning. So let's turn the rain to floods of joy in our hearts. As Paul concludes his letter to the church at Philippi, we can find 7 steps to the joy of peace. First of all, he says, stand firm. Now, as I was reading that, I'm thinking, well, that kind of contradicts what I said last week and what he said last week about pressing on, straining forward to win the prize. But as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, actually, there's action in standing still. Yes, there is. By agreeing in the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord, we take action in the Lord. And actually, sometimes we just need to stand firm to find agreement, to find rejoicing. We must stand firm in the hope that we have in Christ and his glorious resurrection that has been and will come again. To have peace, we must stay true to the word of God and guard ourselves from anything that the world would use to disrupt the peace, and that includes one another. Compromising does not bring peace. Trying to please everybody, guess what? Doesn't bring peace. The current, my opinion is right and I can do what I like, does not bring peace. To have real and lasting peace amongst ourselves, we must unite around the word of God. As I was preparing to speak this morning, I read Our Daily Bread on Friday. Some of you may read it too. It says about being brave together. Verses from Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And when God gives me those little nuggets, that's why I don't actually print what I'm going to say until Sunday morning. Because I'm always sure that God hasn't finished yet. And in those notes, it goes on to say, Paul focused on their future hope, including their shared destiny, where they would live together with Christ, by telling them to encourage one another and build each other up. Essentially, he was saying, we know where we're going. Let's go together. Isn't that great? We know where we're going. Let's go together. Now, I know I've put you off sometimes by saying, look around you. You may see one another in glory. And that's the response I get. But actually, isn't it great that we can go together? Not necessarily all at the same time, but we will be together. And I like that. I like that thought that we can encourage each other here and now. Because that is our future hope. That's why we need to stand firm in what we believe in. The next one, a bit more difficult. Be in agreement. It also means be of the same mind. Well, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? It's apparent, those two women in the church at Philippi, that they were not at peace with one another. Paul doesn't actually reveal, perhaps that was his pastoral, you know, insight there. He didn't reveal the source of their tension, but it was enough for him to mention it in the letter that he'd sent. Now, can you imagine being one of those two women when that letter is read out in your church? Perhaps I might start doing that on a Sunday morning. You're called out by the Apostle Paul and told to behave. And worse, nearly 2,000 years later, we're reading about them. But praise God, their names are in the book of life. It's interesting that their names actually mean a prosperous journey or a pleasant acquaintance. Be careful what your name means and live up to it. But they were two faithful members at the church, serving faithfully, yet there was some disagreement amongst themselves, and they were not of the same mind. They were causing dissension. Most commentators suggest that they just didn't get on with each other. You know, you don't sometimes, do you? You do your best, but, you know, not everybody is your cup of tea. Paul uses them as an illustration, acknowledging their faith and service. And he says, if we want to have the joy of peace, we must be right with one another. And then in verse 4, rejoice always. Another step to the joy of peace is to rejoice always. Now, we've all confessed we had a grumble this morning because it's raining, and I'm sure there was other things for us to grumble about before we had even set foot out of the door. And so Paul says that we should rejoice always, no matter what. And that's the heading that I preached a few weeks ago, and if you've forgotten, go back, listen. It's our joy and privilege, and in today's world, our responsibility, because people are watching us. The minute you profess a faith in Jesus, they're like, well, how are they handling life? Feel the pressure? Yeah, if you're always grumpy and grumbling in the nicest way, then why would people want to follow God? Why would they want to know our Jesus? And in the days when we just don't feel like it, then we should pray harder until we do. As the saying goes, God is good all the time. We can't help but to rejoice always. I think we'd all agree that we rejoice and we give thanks and praise when things are good. Well, sometimes we forget because we're like, hey, look what we've done. But do we rejoice when things are bad? Do we see God helping us through our struggles? We rejoice when we're in perfect health, but not so much when we're sick. We rejoice when we are strong, but we're told that we need to rejoice even more in our weakness. Because as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, my grace is sufficient for you, God says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that a reason to rejoice? No matter what we face this week, we need to continue to learn to rejoice always. Peace comes to those who remember the goodness of God. And again, while I was preparing, for those who listen or read Lectio Divina, talking about being rooted and building up. There's a bit of a theme going on here, isn't there? That's twice now we've been told to build each other up. But a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. In ordinary life, we hardly realise that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. That's an interesting thing to think about this week, isn't it? We receive more than we give. Peace comes to those who rejoice no matter what the circumstances. And then as we get to verse 5, be reasonable. I think it's in other versions, it's be gentle. It's where the reasonableness comes. I had to rehearse that. It's a real difficult word to say. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. It's a disposition that seeks what is best for everyone and not just for ourselves. We learned about that a few weeks ago. Be known as a gentle person. If you want to have peace, then we must too be peacemakers. And that is something that the world needs a lot more of today. Are we reassuring people with our presence? Or are we making people feel like they're walking on eggshells when they're around us? To have the joy of peace, we must be known for our gentleness. Desire it, pursue it by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And verses 6 to 7, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Well, for the natural born worriers, that's going to be a real toughie. But we're encouraged to turn our despair to prayer. Jesus gives us an awesome encouragement in Matthew, where he tells us not to worry about our lives, for God is our provider. And he tells us we're instructed to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when we do, everything else falls into place. Because prayer takes away the fear. It takes away the anxiety. It takes away the worry. Whenever and wherever we choose to do it. I know when I'm in the presence of my Lord, it gives me peace that I struggle to even articulate now as I speak to you. To live in the joy of peace, we must not worry, we must pray. And I'll just touch on verse 8 where it says, be pure. And then we'll do it in full next week. I used to have, and I'll probably say the same again next week, verse 8 in its entirety, one as a background image on my phone and two next to the telly. And then whenever I wanted to watch something, I went through, is it pure? Is it noble? Is it true? Didn't watch a lot of telly that week. Didn't look a lot of things up on the internet that week. Because the minute that you put against what Paul's saying there, you realise a lot of what we do, a lot of what we watch, a lot of what we think is not pure, it is not noble, it is not true. It reminds me to look at the things that are pure and to reframe again from the distraction and the chaos of the world that would tell us what we should be looking at and what we should be buying and what we should be doing for happiness. Paul says that the only thing that we should concern ourselves with is the things that would bring God glory. If we can't praise God for it, then is it worth looking at? Is it really worth our time? True joy is found in being pure and living in purity, and we'll have peace. And finally, Paul encourages the church to follow the right example in verse 9. He tells them to follow his example, and as we learned a few weeks ago, not because he's perfect, but because he has learned and then exemplified the things in his own life and faith. These things are what they have seen Paul doing and what he now writes down for them. They are to fill their minds with things that would inspire worship of God and service to one another. We are not only to be hearers of the word, but doers. But let's exemplify what we have read and be imitators of Jesus and those who have or are setting the right example for us. The greatest lessons, somebody said, the greatest lessons learned are those we both hear and see. And then it says, and the God of peace be with you. Doesn't that sound awesome? As a greeting, as a parting. And may the God of peace be with you. So joyful, so inspirational. We can have peace. It's within touching distance. If we stand firm, be in agreement, rejoice always, be reasonable, don't be anxious, be pure, and follow the right example. When we do, we will discover the joy of God's peace. Remember, by agreeing in the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord, we have action in the Lord. We are standing, yet running. And I realise that we have been in that passage before. I know we've done it as Bible study, but I've written in my Bible from previous time a sum. Pray plus think plus practice equals peace. Amen. Let's pray. God's peace is freely offered to all who will bring their concerns to him with a thankful heart. Father, we come and we confess, even as we've heard your words, that there are times when we live with fear in our tummies and when stress seems to overwhelm us. But you have promised, Lord, and we take you at your promise. Help us to learn to pray with thanksgiving. Help us to learn your peace that would guard our minds. Help us to focus our thoughts in wholesome ways. We are weak, but you are strong, and we rely on your strength to help us. Lord, I pray that we would live our lives for Christ and stand fast in him, so that we be used by you as witness in word and deed to all with whom we would come into contact today and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so we'll sing those words as we come to 746, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Go now and rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be afraid or worried about anything, but in everything trust God and pray. Bear fruits worthy of repentance, sharing what you have and being gentle with all. And may God rejoice over you with gladness. May Christ Jesus renew you in his love. And may the Holy Spirit give you peace beyond understanding to guard your hearts and minds in Christ. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.